Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu arsalallahu ta'ala bil haqqi bashiran wa nadhira da'iyan ila Allah bi idnihi wa sirajan munira amma ba'd فقال تعالى في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد My dear brothers, elders, sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned in his kalam the purpose of this holy month of Ramadan al-Kareem, where he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it had been prescribed on people before you, so that you may become muttaqoon, so that you may develop taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today is the last Jum'ah of this Ramadan al-Kareem. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for giving us this Ramadan in good health and with iman and with the opportunity to maximize the benefit of this month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your prayers, your salah, your qiyam, your tilawat al-Quran, your fasting and all your khairat and sadaqat and all the good that you have been doing. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this and to reward you in keeping with His majesty and grace. And alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us yet one more Jummah and the last Jummah of this Ramadan, which we are able to gather in His house to remind ourselves about His greatness and about our ubudiyat to Him jalla jalaluhu and about the time that we will meet Him on the Day of Judgment. So with this issue of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem is so that we can develop taqwa. And therefore, when we are now at the tail end of Ramadan, the last Jummah of Ramadan, maybe there are three more days, four more days left of the month to finish, it automatically means that it is necessary for us to take stock of what has happened to our taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He sent this month in order that we might develop taqwa. So did this taqwa develop or not? Obviously we need to take stock, because we still have 3-4 days to make up, and we can definitely do tawbah and we should do tawbah. So let us take stock and see what has happened to our taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the awareness and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one that we love the most, more than anyone and anything else. And as a consequence of this hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a consequence of this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we consciously avoid doing anything which Allah does not like. This is the meaning of taqwa. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is fear of offending the one we love the most. Allah said about the believers, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. The believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أشد, most emphatically, most, more than they love anyone and anything else. Fear is a negative emotion which produces hatred. Nobody loves the things they fear. But Allah said, the believers love Allah. So what is the fear of Allah and the love of Allah? How do you put them together? That is taqwa. It's not fear of Allah, it is fear of offending the one I love the most. So the more I love Allah, the more I fear offending Him, and the higher my level of taqwa. And what is the benefit of taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah said, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not the white man who is superior to the black man, or the black man who is superior to the white man, or the Indian who is superior to everybody else. Allah says the most superior, the greatest person of the greatest honor before Allah, akramakum, inda Allahi with Allah, atqakum, the one who has the greatest taqwa. Superiority in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not based on race, it is not based on gender, it is not based on nationality, it is not based on color, it is based on the condition of the heart. The degree to which the person recognizes his Rabb, loves his Rabb, and makes conscious effort never to displease his or her Rabb. That is what gives honor to the individual in the estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You have heard these ayahs from me many, many times. But there is benefit in repetition, and there is benefit in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in two ways. One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in terms of his personal introduction. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in terms of what he has given us. His ni'mat, his blessings on us. And the ayat in which these two are actually combined are the opening ayat of Surah Ar-Rahman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ar-Rahmanu allama al-Qur'an, khalaqal insan, allamahu al-bayan, ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bihusban, wan-najmu wash-shajaru yasjudan, was-samaa'a rafa'aha wa وضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العسف والريهان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself by his blessed name Ar-Rahman, and by his greatest ni'mah, which is iman and his kalam, allama al-Quran, and by the fact that he created us as human beings, khalaqa al-insan, and by the greatest of his blessings which he gave us, which is the power of speech, the ability to convert thought into a communicable form which others can understand. Allamahul bayan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained and mentioned his different ni'mat which he gave us. And then he asked a question. Every question demands an answer. And what is the question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked in this surah? Not once, many times. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. How many of these blessings will you deny? We say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, and we make him witness to what we say. And we say to him that we do not deny any of his ni'mat, and that we are thankful to him for every single one of his ni'mat. We are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he gave us. And we are thankful and even more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he did not give us. Because what he gave us was a result of our desire. We asked and he gave. But what he did not give us is a result of his decision. And his decision is always superior to our desire. My brothers and sisters, what did we do in Ramadan? What is it that made Ramadan special for us? What we did in Ramadan was to become Muslim. What we did in Ramadan was to become Muslim. What do I mean by that? Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is the one who has submitted himself completely and totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu without question. Not without understanding, without question. And there's a difference between submission without understanding and submission without question. Submission without question comes as a result of understanding, not the lack of understanding. If there is no understanding, questions will happen. When do you ask a question? When you understand something or you don't understand something? You don't ask a question when you understand something. You ask a question when you don't understand something. So obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question is a sign of understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what our relationship with Him is. And what is our relationship with Allah? Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Verily I say that my salah, my worship, my sacrifice, nusuki, wa mahyaya, and my life, wa mamati, and my death, lillahi rabbil alameen. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of Islam. And this is what we did in Ramadan. You stopped eating food which was halal. You did not eat that food even if you were hungry. You stopped drinking water and drinking whatever halal mashrubat, things to drink that Allah made halal for us. Even if you were very thirsty, you still didn't drink it. You controlled your desires. You controlled your tongue. You were angry, but you say, Ana Saim, I am fasting. I will not shout and I will not scream and I will not yell and so on and so forth. Even though you deserve that I should do all of this, but I will not do it. Because I am fasting. Somebody tried to gossip, somebody tried to, do some ghibah, some backbiting. You said, sorry, I am fasting. I don't do this. I don't do ghibah. I don't bad talk anybody. I don't do it. I don't listen to it. Somebody tried to put on some nonsensical TV program or somebody tried to distract you, said, no. Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. I'm sorry, I'm not interested. I'm not going to waste my time. My time is going to be spent in doing my work, whatever is required, and then the rest of the time is going to be spent in connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did all this. And those who made i'tikaf freed up 10 days, 24/7. Only for the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And they secluded themselves in the masajid. And they did nothing other than worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that if they did anything else, it would invalidate the i'tikaf. So they did not do that. Ramadan came to teach us taqwa. And what I just described for you is the picture of taqwa. But my question to myself, my brothers and sisters, and I request you to ask the same question to yourself is this. Did you enter Ramadan or did Ramadan enter you? Because if you and I entered Ramadan, then lo and behold, 3 days from now, 4 days from now, 5 days from now, we will have gone out of Ramadan. Khalas. But if Ramadan entered you and me, then insha'Allah al-Musta'an, the effect of Ramadan will remain with us for the rest of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send Ramadan al-Kareem so that you will develop taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ فِي شَهْرُ الرَّمَضَانِ فَقَطْ. Is that the ayat? So that you become muttaqeen only in the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you become people who are conscious of Allah, muttaqoon. Allah did not send Ramadan to change our behavior for 1 month. Allah sent Ramadan to remind us to change our behavior for the rest of our lives. How many of us know that this was our last Ramadan? Do I know that this is my last Ramadan? Maybe it is. And then I need to ask myself, did I take maximum advantage of this Ramadan because I'm not going to get another one? Ramadan came to teach us, to make us Muslims. And alhamdulillah, we became Muslims. Because we entered Ramadan and allowed Ramadan to enter us. And we brought ourselves on the meaning of this ayah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. And when a person does that, what happens? When a person is a muttaqi, when a person comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, because he has brought his life or her life in line with the ahkam and the orders of Allah. and they have brought their lives online with the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What then happens? The person is close to Allah, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa taala put this ayah in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa taala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave asks about me, the slave has become muttaqi. The slave has submitted himself and herself to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah include us among these. So what is the Rabb saying? Fazkuruni azkurkum. You remember me, I will remember you. In the Hadith of Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us and said, your Rabb says that when my slave remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. And when my slave remembers me in company, then I remember him in company which is superior to his company. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Allah's mention of you is superior to your mention of Allah. Fadhkuruni azkurkum. You remember me, I will remember you. So when the slave submitted himself, now what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now when my slave wants to know about me, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slave asks about me, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am close to him. I am close to him. And what happens if you are close to the Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu? What happens when you are close to the King? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو رب العرش الكريم هو ملك الحق. He is the true and the only King. La ilaha illa hu, huwa rabbul arshil kareem. So when you are close to the King, what do? You ask. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Let him ask me, I will give him. Let him ask me, I will give him. What should he ask? Anything he wants. What will you give? Anything I want. There is no limit to my treasures. There is no limit to what I can do. So ask, I will give you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever you want, ask. But two conditions. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. So let him obey me and let him have faith in me. Let him obey me, let him do what I have ordered him to do. Because he submitted, so now obey. What is the sign of submission? Obedience. A person who has submitted does not then stand up in opposition to the one to whom he submitted himself. A person who submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not then stand up and ask, why should I do this? Or I don't like to do this. A person who submitted, Musa alayhi salam is sent to Firaun. اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ. Go to Firaun, he has rebelled. Musa alayhi salam submitted. Musa alayhi salam is a Nabi, he is a Muslim. So what does he say? رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَهَلُوا الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He does not say, Allah, this is difficult job, how can I do it? No, nothing. Go to Firaun. He says, yes, he makes dua. Oh Allah, expand my heart. Give me understanding, give me wisdom, give me ability. And make this job easy for me. He doesn't say change my job, he says make it easy for me. وَيَسِّرْلِي أَمْرِي. Make this order that you have given me, make it easy for me. وَهَلُوا الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. Untie the knot in my tongue. Refers to a speech defect he had. Also refers to the ability to give the words to reach the hearts of people. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So that they can understand what I say. Submission means not standing up in opposition to the one to whom we submitted. inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alamin. Ramadan Kareem came to remind us of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now ask me whatever you want, I will give you. Take full advantage of this, my brothers and sisters. We still have 3, 4, 5 days left. Make lots and lots and lots of dua. Make dua for yourselves. Make dua for your families. Make dua for those of our friends and families who have passed away and gone before us. Make dua for the future generations. Make dua for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in all kinds of difficulties everywhere in the world. The one common factor of this ummah today is that we are in difficulties. Make dua for those who create these difficulties for us. Sad to say, most of them are in this ummah itself. Self-inflicted problems. Make dua for that. Make dua that Allah gives them hidayat or removes them to a place where they cannot do any harm. Make dua for peace and harmony. We are living in a place where today the lack of peace and harmony has become the norm. Make dua that we change our behavior in such a way that we become the most beloved of people. So make lots of dua. And remember the two conditions Allah made. فَاسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Allah said, I will give you whatever I want, subject to two conditions, that you obey me and that you have faith in me. Obedience has to do with our action. Faith has to do with tawakkul, which means patience and sabr. Not everything you ask, you will get. Not everything you ask, you will get when you want to get it. And this is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He gives some things when we ask, and He gives some things later. Now you might say, well, I asked for this so much, and it's a good thing that I asked for. I didn't ask for anything haram. I asked for something which is very good. I asked for something which is the deen itself. I asked for something which is help in Islam itself. But I did not get it. Why? The Muslim does not ask this question, because he knows why. You ask a question when you don't understand. But when you understand, there's no question. Why? Because in not getting it at that time, there is khair for you. The rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in not getting it at that time. People say, well, if Allah didn't want to give, why did He make me ask? Because He wants to reward you for your dua. Because He wants to give you the benefit of ibadah. Remember the time you made those duas? How much you cried before Allah? What khushu there was. When you were making that dua, wallahi, there was no one between you and Allah. You were speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His arsh. That is reward in itself. So how can you say that I asked all this and Allah never gave? He gave you much more than what you asked, man. You asked for something in this dunya and Allah gave you in the akhirah. And as for the thing that you asked in this dunya, whatever it was, inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do it the day and the time that He wishes to that to be done. And when that happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put your account and put your link into that account, and that you will continue to get the reward of that whenever it happens, inshallah. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Obey me and then have faith. Don't lose faith. Don't say, I made dua, nothing happened. No. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every condition that I may be in. And when the slave reaches that stage, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us and enable us to reach that stage, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives bashara, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ولا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when He's talking about those slaves who have submitted, we ask Allah to make us among those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna allazeena qalu rabbuna Allah. These are the people who said, Allah is my Rabb. And said Allah is my Rabb doesn't refer to only speaking that. It means living our whole life on this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is my Rabb. Meaning I am completely and totally submitted and in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in every aspect of my life. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. The person who fits this ayah is the one about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying innalladhina qalu rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu. Those who said Allah is my Rabb and they had istiqamat on that. They were firm on this. They didn't change. Lam yartabu. They didn't have doubts. They didn't change. They were firm on this. They obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect. What will happen to them at the time when it is time to meet Allah? We ask Allah to make us all among those for whom these ayat have been sent. The time to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, the time when there is no one who can help us. The time of the greatest fear and anxiety for the individual. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, who feels this anxiety? He said, everybody. Said, even the Anbiya, he said, even the Anbiya. He said, even you, he said, even me. Because you are going to a place you don't know about. You only heard about this. The Alam al-Barzakh, the Akhirah. No one came back and told you what it is. We take it on the word of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nobody has actually seen it. Time of the greatest anxiety. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْهُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ إِهِنَا إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. When the breath is stuck in the throat, the state of nada, and you are standing there and you are watching and you can't do anything. At that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. We will send our angels for them. And what will the angels do? They will say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't have any fear. Don't have any sadness. Don't be sad about your life. Don't be fearful about the Akhirah. Abshiru bil jannati lati kuntum tu'adun. We have come with the bashara of Jannah for you. Right there. Person hasn't even died. State of nada. Allah will send the bashara for Jannah. Don't worry, nothing to fear. Ask Allah to make us all among those who will receive the bashara of Jannah before we die. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, what is it that we must do to make this happen? Qalu Rabbuna Allah, we have said it. All of us have said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Qalu Rabbuna Allah, we have done. Thumma istaqamu. Two things. Say La ilaha illallah and stick on it. Stay firm on it. What must we do? Replicate Ramadan in the rest of your life. What is the meaning of that? It means make your life completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. What is the first hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to obey? Salah. Salah is the physical, the amali manifestation of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Salah is fard on yourself. Make it fard on yourself. Today our problem is Allah made it fard, but we have not made it fard on ourselves. So we pray when there is time. We pray when we feel like praying. We pray when it's convenient. Pray because this is the greatest honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. The honor of appearing in His court whenever we like. 5 times a day by invitation. As many times outside of that as we like by our own will. Except for the mamnu awqat of salat, there is no limit on the number of nawafil that we can pray. So pray. Make salah fard on yourself because Allah already made it fard on you. For the men, make salah fard on yourself means pray in the masjid. I don't mean this masjid, whichever masjid. Salah in the masjid is fard. It's not only salah. Salah in the masjid for the man is fard. So make sure that you pray salah in the masjid. Especially salatul fajr and salatul isha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who prays Salatul Isha by Jama'ah and prays Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah, this person, the worship of the entire night will be written for him. It will be as if he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole night. Even if you feel a great amount of josh and do it one day or 2 days, nobody can sustain that for your whole life. But definitely all of us can pray Isha by Jama'ah and Fajr by Jama'ah. And Jama'ah is not you and your wife in your house. Jama'ah is in the masjid. And even if you have two more children to add, to make 2 into 4, it's still not Jama'ah. It's in the masjid. So, first thing to do is, like you did in Ramadan, make Salah Fard on yourself because it is already Fard. Second one, fasting. Both the Nawafil fasting, which is Mondays and Thursdays, and the 3 days, 13th, 14th, 15th of the lunar month, and other days like the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah and Yawmul Arafah, which will come in that. Of course, if you are fasting the 10 days, then you don't have to get into the conflict of is it this day or that day, because you fasted all the days anyway. And the Yawmul Ashura and so on. But also fasting in the context of fasting, which is you will leave everything that Allah has ordered you to leave. Fasting is not being hungry. Allah has no need for our hunger and thirst. Fasting is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. Why? Because Allah said so. In fasting, we are even leaving that which is halal. So what must we therefore do with that which is not halal? So first thing to do, make salah fard on yourself, because it is already fard. Two, make the haram haram on yourself, because it is already haram. What Allah has made haram, leave it. No matter who tells you what. Because whoever tells you what will not be standing with you on the day of judgment when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave whatever is haram. Leave whatever is doubtful. If you have a doubt, go clarify the doubt before you do that or you use that or you eat that. Until you clarify the doubt, don't touch it. You clarified the doubt, alhamdulillah, it is not prohibited, most welcome. Do what you want. But if it's prohibited, leave it. So leave whatever is haram. Third one. Earn halal and eat halal. Starting when? Starting now. Earn halal and eat halal. If there is any haram in your income, please understand, if there is any haram in your income, the charity from that income is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is pure and Allah accepts only that which is pure. So those people who think that, you know, I can earn haram, then I will give charity, I'm sorry, this is not Islamic theology. You can't throw some money at God and he will disappear. No, it won't. You and your money both belong to Allah already. So you can't give Allah anything. So earn halal and eat halal. And the fourth one is, create an atmosphere of obedience in your homes. People like to complain about society. People say society is so bad and so evil and so on, and my children are getting spoiled. Your children are not getting spoiled because of society. Your children are getting spoiled because you have brought that society into your house. There is no difference between what is happening outside and what's happening in your house. There is open disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside, and you have imported that open disobedience into your own house. One of my friends one day asked me, he told me, you know, they invited me for dinner, so I was there, and they said, you know, these, please advise our children, they watch too much of television. This is terrible. I mean, the whole time they are sitting in front of the TV, and please advise them, please tell them not to do that. So I said, absolutely correct. I will certainly tell your children not to, sit in front of the TV and so on. Tell me which one of them bought the TV, let me talk to him first. Seriously, I mean, I was talking to the child who bought the TV because he's the root cause of the evil, right? Please stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. You, meaning parents, are the source of the evil. Instead of being the source of correction, you are the problem. Go look in the mirror. The problem has got a name, your name. Stop doing that. Don't blame the kids. You bring a TV, put it in a place, you call it TV lounge. To kya karega tahajjud padega usse samne hone? You make that, you put the TV, watches the TV, man, boy, give me a break. One elderly aunt of mine, may Allah bless her, Asa, why do you watch all these, these serials which is full of nonsense, complete rubbish? It's either totally haram or it's total nonsense. But our women are very clever, especially the older ones. He tells me, nahi, 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 zindagi mein kya nahi karna samajhne ke waaste dekh rahi bole. I am watching it so that I know what I should not do. That's a great excuse, mashallah, alhamdulillah. At least the people have wisdom. Please, my brothers and sisters, if you are going to create an environment inside your home which has no difference from the environment outside your home, don't blame the children. The home environment must be such that the child can use the home environment as a benchmark against the outside. We are worried our children might fall into bad company. What is bad company? Bad company is that which I don't want to bring and introduce to my mother and my father. But if I find no difference between my mother and the father and my home atmosphere and the atmosphere outside, then there's no such thing as bad company. Create your homes and make the environment of the home something that becomes a benchmark for the child. When the child wants to do something, wants to go somewhere, wants to meet some people, hang out with some people, make some friends, the person must think, no, we don't live like this. This is not our culture. This is not our home. This is not our manners. We are not people like this. We don't talk like this. Cursing in schools, people complain. There's so much of cursing in schools. There is cursing in schools. There's always been cursing in schools. But do your children curse? Or do your children say, no, we don't speak like this? No, others are cursing. Let them do. They are not our asatiza. They are not our teachers. Our teacher is one, and his name is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So if people are cursing, they can curse. I mean, what can we do? If a dog barks, you don't go, you don't start barking because the dog is barking. Create that home environment. So what must we do to take Ramadan along with us for the rest of our lives? Number one, فَلْيَسْتَجِبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ. Obey Allah and have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, salah. Number three, the essence of fasting. Fasting itself, but also and more importantly, the essence of fasting, which is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and totally. Number four, create an environment in the home which is a reflection of Jannah, not of Jahannam. Environment in the home which becomes a standard for your children to compare with everything else that they encounter in the world and say, this is good because it is like what happens in my house. And this is not good because this is different from what happens in my house. This must be the standard of ethics, of morals, of values, of standing up for justice and truth, of courage, of compassion, of concern for each other, concern for the neighbors, taking care of people. Allah did not create the Muslims to become a major nuisance for everybody else. Allah created us so that we become a blessing for everybody else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to take Ramadan with us for into our lives and into our hearts and for the rest of our lives, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us in the spirit of fasting as long as we are in this world. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us from this world in that spirit of fasting. I ask Allah to take us in a state of fasting, inshallah, Mustahil. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as. Whatever you ask, with khair, and then to give you more from His generosity and grace just to delight you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to protect you from every harm, physical and mental and spiritual. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all kinds of vices and all kinds of temptations, and to make the road leading to His grace and His acceptance and the road leading to His pleasure and rida as easy as possible for you. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.